The veteran committee votes are in, and we have a new batch of Hall of Famers already announced last week. In a few weeks, we're going to hear which players on the ballot have been elected. But what about the other people? Who out there currently in Major League Baseball could be a Hall of Famer based not upon what they did as a player, but as a manager or as a general manager? This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available on your free podcasting platforms. Easy for you to say. Hey, we are available wherever you get your podcasts and also here on YouTube. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Did I introduce myself? I can't forget. Did I say that I'm Paul Francis Sullivan? You can call me Sully. I don't know. You know, I haven't done a podcast for a couple of days, just for, you know, work reasons, and also because, you know, there's not a lot to talk about. And I missed a day. That's why I'm doing this one on Sunday. You only got four last week. You're going to get six this week. Let me tell you something. You know, it's going to be the off season with a lockout, but I'm still going to be churning these out a lot because, you know, it's fun to talk about baseball. And also, by the way, if you like what we're doing here, I'm going to be guest hosting a few episodes of Locked On A's, you know, because, you know, every once in a while, you know, reality kicks in and a little thing called birth is going to happen to Jason Burke's family. So he's going to be Jason Burth. He's going to be a dad soon. He's going to be going on paternity leave, at least for a couple of weeks. And a bunch of us have stepped up to do some guest spots of Locked On A's, and I'm thrilled to be doing that. So, you know, check that out. Some things in my life caught up with me on Friday and Saturday, and I just couldn't record a podcast either one of those days. So I'm making up for it today with Sunday. Now, here's a funny thing. And there are some new listeners out there and people who are brand new to the show. For those of you who don't know me and what I've been doing in podcasting land all these years, I used to host a show called the Sully Baseball Daily Podcast. I used to do 365 shows a year, unless it was a leap year, then I did another one. And I did that from October of 2012 until April of 2017. I didn't miss a single day, which means there are nearly 2,000 episodes that I did for that. And if you like this show and you want to hear some of the stuff that I did beforehand, you know, some of it is topical. You know, we're talking about the 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, and the 2016 postseason World Series and all that, offseason things like that happening. All those are topics of the past, but there are also a bunch of evergreen ones. There's a bunch of great interviews with players, including Sean Doolittle and Gary Templeton and Kevin Mensch and Rudy May and Ellis Valentine. Actors like, you know, Joe Mantegna did a guest spot on it. There's a lot of really fun episodes. So if you dig this show, go subscribe to Sully Baseball. It's now listed just as Sully Baseball on iTunes and other places. And so if you want to go check out some of my old episodes, if you dig what we're doing here, go ahead. I'd like to go back. And every once in a while, especially in the off season, I'll do what is called a one from the vaults, and I'll pull out an old episode, which I think probably has a little bit of relevance. Here's one of the reasons I'm bringing that up now. You know, you have to be a little creative. You got to roll your sleeves up a little bit in the off season anyway, but especially in an off season where there is a lockout. So there's not going to be a lot of fresh topics to be talking about. You know, Hall of Fame is going to get us a little ways there. I'm going to talk a little bit about managers in just a minute. And I was about to record a podcast, and the topic was about the franchise moves that almost happened. And that's happened a bunch of times. And I think some of you might know what I mean. Things like You know, the Giants were on the verge of moving to Tampa Bay. The Twins were on the verge of moving. The Twins were on the verge of moving to North Carolina. But there were other stranger ones along the way. You know, the Giants on the verge of moving from New York to Minnesota, that the Chicago White Sox nearly moved to Milwaukee, nearly moved to Seattle. There's a lot of different sort of combinations. The A's almost moved everywhere. Anywhere you are now was almost a location for the Athletics, either from Philadelphia or from Kansas City. And I was prepping that podcast. I think it's kind of a fun, I love what ifs, I love alternate universes. Here's the deal. As I mentioned before, I've done hundreds of episodes of Locked On MLB. I did all the 2019, 2020, and 2021, hundreds of episodes of that, plus nearly 2,000 episodes. I would guess I've done about, I got to count them eventually, but I'd guess anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 podcast episodes in the last 9 years. Okay? I can't remember if I've done that one. I can't remember if I've already done that topic. And that's happened to me a couple of times. Ooh, I got a good idea for one, And I look online to see if anyone else has done that sort of topic and if it would overlap. And I say, oh, yeah, I did. I kind of sort of forgot. I don't have a big encyclopedia. I don't have a team of people coming up to say, yeah, you already did that one. I wrote about this 10 years ago when I used to write articles for the Hardball Times. And it was something I had a lot of fun researching 10 years ago. And I've learned a lot of other things since then to add to it. But I don't remember if I've done it before. I've been Googling my own podcast, trying to find it. So there's some of you out there, like Cubs fan with an eight, some of the people who have been listening to this podcast for a long time. If you happen to remember if that's an old topic that I've done before, please let me know, because if I haven't, I'll do it, because it's a fun topic to talk about. Also, there's two major openings. I'm going to scoot together because it looks like God has shown up to the podcast. That's right. Sorry if that was sacrilegious to some people. Two managerial openings exist for teams that are, shall we say, interesting landing spots. You have Oakland, who is probably, look at this. You know what? I'm not even going to change it. It looks like I'm in the fortress of solitude, right? If those of you not watching the YouTube video, it really looks like I'm about to lay down the crystals and talk to Jor-El right now. And you know what? I don't mind that. Your pal Sully does not mind looking like I'm in the fortress of solitude right now. I'll take it. I will take it. The Oakland A's have a managerial opening after Bob Melvin skedaddled to San Diego. It's probably going to be someone in-house. You know, it's probably going to be someone that Billy Bean can just come up with and say, look, we're going to tell you what to do. We're going to tear this team down. In 18 months, there's going to be an entirely new 25-man roster here, and we'll be on the verge of winning 93 games. That's what's going to happen. That's what the A's do. That's what the A's have been doing this entire century, is they put together a team full of people you've never heard of, and in 3 years, the roster's entirely turned over, and then they win again and again. They don't go far. They don't win pennants. They don't win titles, but they give their fans a summer, and they get to the – they're competitive. And they'll do it with players you've never heard of before, or players you think, oh, my God, they're still playing baseball? Yeah, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to find a manager who's fine with it. Bob Melvin did it for about a decade, and he finally said, I wouldn't mind players who are going to stick around. And off he goes to San Diego, and he's probably going to win a World Series title. We'll get to the part of that legacy in Section 2. It's probably going to be someone like Mark Kotze, you know, someone who's involved with the organization. It's not going to be a high profile choice, and they're not going to pick like the was it the bench coach of the Astros or the pitching coach of this? Or the bench, no, it's going to be someone in-house. It's going to be someone in-house who already knows the system and knows what's going on. You know, I think that if, you know, I often wonder if you got a veteran. I think about some of the people who never got their shot as a manager. I mean, I keep bringing up the lieutenants to Bruce Bochy. Also, you know, Chris Chambliss never got a shot. Willie Randolph got one shot. And for whatever reason, to get another one. You almost got a sense where you could almost, if you're Billy Beane, say, hey, look, if you agree to just do everything I say, you get to show up, put on a major league uniform, be a manager, and manage a team that will probably make the postseason in a couple of years. So, I mean, the A's are going to, it's probably not going to be a really sexy choice going to Oakland. They had a sexy choice. They had a sexy manager, you know, multiple manager of the year winner in Bob Melvin. He's now off to San Diego. And I, you know, look at, I want them to win. I'd love to see the Padres win the World Series, but I digress. The other one is obviously the Mets. And I talked about this the other day. If you had asked me, a few days ago, I would have said Ausmus, because Epler has a relationship with Ausmus, and Ausmus had managed Scherzer before when he was the manager of the Detroit Tigers. But the fact that Scherzer wanted Showalter and not the manager he had already worked with, I think speaks volumes of what Scherzer thought of Ausmus. I mean, Ausmus just seemed like the absolute no-brainer choice. Not that I feel that he was the best choice. I mean, no-brainer in terms of prediction. He's someone with managerial experience, with postseason experience. This would be his third stop. You don't want to have someone having that. They've already tried the whole first stop twice with, you know, the Callaway disaster. That actually happened, you know. And, you know, what happened with Rojas, where the team was pretty good until the last few months of the season. And then, you know, to have this Met team finish with a losing record. I mean, just to take the pitchforks and torches out of the Mets fans' hands, they have to get a manager who will at least give them a sense of, for the lack of a better word, comfort. You know, Schilt would be an interesting one. His name is not coming up at all. But as someone has said before, a recent manager of the year winner, and someone who as recently as this year got a manager of the year vote, had his team go on this big, long winning streak. I wonder how much of his reputation has been sullied, no connection to me intended, easy for you to say, because of the manner of which he was fired. As how much of the credit is going to go to the Cardinals front office. We'll get to that a little bit later too. But it's probably going to be Showalter. And Showalter is obviously a manager who's had success wherever he's gone. He's a manager that doesn't really care. And the fact that the front office and everything like that may want to be dictating stuff to Showalter, but this is not a front office with a lot of cash in their available balance. This is not a front office that can play the whole, hey, it's our way or the highway. Well, so far you haven't been riding a highway. You've only been riding the back roads. You know, if Showalter takes over the Mets and the Mets win the World Series, Showalter will probably be the person praised for that. And the Mets front office has to be okay with that, whether it's true or not, whether it's based in reality or not. This is one of the situations where the narrative will be more important than the reality. But if Showalter brings the Mets to a World Series, first of all, he has to get hired. But if he does indeed lead the Mets to a World Series title, then guess what? He would probably be someone who you would list as a potential Hall of Fame manager. And the topic of Hall of Fame managers is going to be a big part of segment two of today's show. But I want to ask you, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your best friends, neighbors log in to watch all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you, there's a simple way to get all that entertainment you love with no hassle, and finally a great way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter, the confusion, get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So I was thinking about this the other day that, you know, Gil Hodges was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and partly because of winning the World Series title as a manager with the Mets, and also probably because he was a wonderful player. He probably wasn't a Hall of Fame player, and he probably wasn't a Hall of Fame manager, but Voltron those together, and next thing you know, he had a Hall of Fame baseball life. I have no clue why that isn't how people think about it, but he is indeed someone who lived a Hall of Fame baseball life. And by the way, that fares quite well for Lou Piniella eventually getting into the Hall of Fame, because he had a wonderful career, sometimes an all-star, mainly with the Yankees. Got, you know, he bounced around a little bit at the beginning of his career, but then he spent the bulk of his career with the Yankees, being a big part of the team that won all those World Series and pennants, but then became a successful manager, had winning seasons with the Yankees, won a World Series with the Reds, and took the Mariners and the Cubs to the postseason as a manager. Would have helped his Hall of Fame candidacy if he had actually won the World Series with either Seattle or Chicago. But Gil Hodges, connect them together. Baseball life, that could go a long way for Lou Piniella. Danny Murtaugh was on one of the lists of potential Hall of Fame. He did not get elected in. He was a wonderful manager, beloved manager in Pittsburgh. Managed both the 1960 and 1971 World Series titles. Was the first manager to ever fill out a lineup card that did not have a single white player on it. He in the 1971, he had several times where he filled out a lineup card where the entire lineup was either African-American or Latin-American. That had never happened before. When asked why he did that, he said, those are my best players. You know, pretty straightforward. I think probably the thing that hurt his candidacy was the fact that there were holes in the resume. There were holes when he left the Pirates and then came back. They seemed to win when he came back. But I think if he had stayed the whole time, or stuck around to manage in 72 when Bill Verdon led him to the division title, that may have helped this cause. But I was thinking about this, like, what managers out there are right now, if they retire at this moment, are Hall of Fame managers, and which ones would be if they win the World Series? I think Showalter, because he had the Yankees in the postseason after a long drought, and probably, you know, in 94, they were lined up to probably win the pennant when the strike hit. You know, he turned around the Rangers, was the first manager of the Diamondbacks, got them to the playoffs in his second season, led Baltimore to the postseason. You know, he had success without winning a World Series, without getting to the World Series. I really thought in 2014, when he got the Orioles to the American League Championship Series, where he was going to be playing Kansas City, I thought he was going to throttle Kansas City. And I really thought that was going to be the coronation of Buck Showalter. Instead, what that did was it led Bruce Bochy to clinching his Hall of Fame candidacy. You know, winning a World Series title seems to be a prerequisite for getting into the Hall of Fame as a manager, with the exception of Al Lopez. I can't think of a single manager who made it to the Hall of Fame without a World Series title under their belt. And just because you won a World Series as a manager doesn't mean you're automatically going to get in. You know, I mean, John Farrell, Ozzie Guillen, you know, there's sort of Ned Yost. There's going to be some people who are not Hall of Famers but have that World Series title under their belt. But it sure helps. It seems like it's a prerequisite. You know, Melvin, I'd mentioned Melvin. The fact that he was a manager of the year in Oakland, did a remarkable job while managing the Arizona Diamondbacks, getting them to the NLCS with a team actually had a negative run differential that year. and they were actually not a very good team by any metric, and yet they won 90 games and had home field advantage in the NLCS in 2007. And then year in and year out, despite constantly having stripped down teams, had the A's either in the postseason or contending for the postseason. They were in the postseason in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, with radically different rosters in almost every year. And the fact that Melvin was there, and how much of that was Bean, how much of that is Melvin? Well, we're going to find out, because if he wins a World Series in San Diego, and of course, you take a look at the teams he managed, Arizona, Oakland, San Diego, these are not exactly the teams that are bubbling over with financial advantages. We could start talking about Bob Melvin as a Hall of Famer. Let's go down the line. How many are already in the Hall of Fame? La Russa actually is already in the Hall of Fame. He has a plaque. He came out of retirement to manage the White Sox. There's really nothing more he can do. Francona, I think, is already a Hall of Famer. You know, his two World Series titles got the Indians to within one swing of winning the World Series. I think that's a Hall of Fame career so far. Joe Maddon, I think, is already a Hall of Famer with a pennant with the Rays, World Series title with the Cubs. Of course, if he can lead the Angels to a World Series title and give Trout his ring, then that would end all discussion. I think those are the only ones who, as of right now, have the resume right now. Now, there's a few others that are close. A World Series title for Dusty Baker? Yeah, that'll get him in. When you include that he took the Giants to the postseason, the Cubs to the postseason, the Reds to the postseason, the Nationals to the postseason, the Houston Astros to the postseason. If the Astros won this last year, rehearse your speech, Dusty. They could still do it this year. He may be able to take the whole baseball life thing, but again, it's tough to elect a manager who hasn't won at all. Alex Cora, even if he wins another World Series, I think the haze of what happened in 2017 and 2018 will probably prevent him from that. But who knows? Maybe it won't. Same thing for A.J. Hinch if he turns around the Tigers. You have some people like, and Kevin Cash would be another person. If you can lead a team like the Rays to a World Series title, then, more luck to you. And then you have people, Dave Roberts probably will need another title to be able to do it. Joe Girardi would be interesting because he would have a manager of the year with the Marlins, a World Series ring with the Yankees. And if he leads the Phillies and becomes part of the very small fraternity of people who have won the World Series in both the American League and the National League, which consists of Sparky Anderson and Tony La Russa, that would probably be enough to do that. Melvin, I think, needs a World Series title to clinch it, but I think that would do the job. Now, there's some other ones who are putting together pretty interesting resumes, of which another World Series title would probably go a long way. Dave Roberts, I mentioned, Bud Black. Anyone who has been a manager of the year with another team, has a long managerial career, adding a title to their resume could go a long way to making that an interesting case. We have to find out about Snitker in Atlanta, who won this year. And of course, it helps when you win with a beleaguered, injured underdog team, which is what the Braves were this year. Sorry, any Braves fan who's giving me hate mail for that. We're going to have to see again with Dave Martinez, starting with someone who already has a title, adding to that would probably help. It's funny, if I'd say Don Mattingly, I can hear my father rumble from the afterlife. Mattingly has managed both the Dodgers and the Marlins to the postseason, but that would have to be one of those, a baseball life thing. If he wins a World Series title with the Marlins, now that's quite an accomplishment right there. And then you take a look at the man lived a baseball life. And so you'd have to take that into account. I'm not buying Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone should even have a job. Craig Counsell is someone who is interesting, but again, would have to have the ring to make it something worthwhile. And, I think everyone else, you have some people who are talented managers. Some have won manager of the year. you know, whether it's Torey Lovullo or Rocco Baldelli. But again, without a title, what are we even talking about here? Some other managers have won manager of the year. It didn't mean much. You don't believe me? Ask Mike Schilt, who's currently unemployed. So, yeah, I think the main ones, I mean, as I said before, there are three who are already Hall of Famers, Francona, Madden, and La Russa. And a World Series title is the only thing keeping Baker and Melvin and, well, maybe Cash out of it right now. But right now, those are the interesting ones. Now, of course, you're taking a look at what is being valued. I mean, thinking about this in terms of managers may be somewhat antiquated, because how many times do we see that the managers are somewhat interchangeable, and it really is the front office that's doing the majority of the winning? And with that in mind, there are some people out there who may be Hall of Fame contenders as general managers or presidents, you know, front office. So I'm not going to go into what titles are. And there's one who I'm just feeling I have a hard time grasping them as a Hall of Famer, and someone who they're connected with, who probably should be the one getting the Hall of Fame consideration posthumously. We're going to get into that in the third and final segment of today's episode. But before we do that, let me tell you that it is a surefire bet that Francona and Madden are going to be Hall of Famers as managers. If you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online, your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And you know what we're going to talk about right now? I mean, really, right here and right now. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Built Bars, and I love it. If you're watching this on YouTube, the sun is hitting the Built Bar. It looks like now we're really into Superman when he's holding up the crystals in the Fortress of Solitude. Yeah, I'm making really, really up-to-date references here when I talk about Built Bar. But let me tell you something. As mentioned on Locked On Braves, friend of this podcast, Dale Murphy, two-time National League MVP, he loves his Built Bars. You know, these are the protein bars that taste like a candy bar. They're fantastic. They got so many great flavors. This is coconut almond, all right? But mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, my personal favorite, raspberry. They're fantastic. They're great tasting. And hold on, I'm going to go. This may not be great audio stuff, but I'm going to take a look at here. Look at this, 180 calories. 180 calories. What's their net carb situation? It's like, this is unbelievable. The fact that they're so low in carbs, so low in calories, they are high in protein, and you can work this off instantly, and it tastes great. It's fantastic, okay? And you're gonna sort of see that you just have one of these, dip them in your cocoa if you want. You start off as your breakfast, as a meal replacement. They're unbelievably great. I got another one here. One is this one? I can't even remember. Oh, this is double chocolate. In case chocolate's not good enough for you, we got double chocolate. And how much is this double chocolate, calories-wise? 130. Are you kidding me? I could burn 130 doing a podcast, not even getting up. Now, you can look for some great new marshmallow treats right around the holidays. You need to get your hand on Built Bar Puffs. They're light. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy through and through it. They got different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste great. You won't believe that they're filled with protein. Just listen to Dale Murphy, former Braves. Great, Come on, we got an offer for you. You, yes, you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15, you get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com and get you some. Oh, are they reflecting badly? Hold on. Get you some. Hold the product right. Built bars. There's your built bars. What GMs belong in the Hall of Fame? It's kind of, you know, we're moving towards a time where GMs are going to get more credit than the managers for their work on the field and the success of the team on the field. It's kind of like how for a long time it was like movie directors, or that was the position that people wanted to have. That seemed to have the one that had the most creative power, but now it's TV showrunners and executive producers. So people seem to be more wanting to become a showrunner than a film director, and great baseball minds seem to want to be a GM rather than manager. The manager doesn't have the same cachet they used to have. So if we're going through these potential Hall of Famers as the managers, and you sort of take a good long look at who's still out there as potential Hall of Famers, as as a GM, we brought Billy Beane. Billy Beane's an interesting case because he almost has to have a World Series title in order to justify everything, even though everyone else seems to be doing his methods and winning with it. You know, he's kind of like, I'm trying to think of like, you know, you have someone who is the pioneer in, you know, in filmmaking. You would have someone like a Godard was doing all these techniques, and other people started using the same techniques and in more financially successful movies. You know, you honor the person who came up with the strategies. You know, Billy Beane came up with tons of strategies that turned around the A's, just hasn't translated into a World Series title. And you think about all those years where they got down to a game five of the division series and a bounce here, a bounce there, the A's could have had one or two pennants or titles, and we're not even having this conversation. He's to be already in. John Mozeliak, is that how you pronounce his name? I've actually never said his name out loud until just now. You know, has a multiple pennants and a World Series title running the Cardinals after being one of the heads of the Rockies for as long. You know, the team constantly is in the postseason, constantly is getting to the NLCS. And, we saw again this year that they're a team that could turn things around, that could be super talented, but he's also one to make bold moves, firing Schilt. One of his first bold moves he made was trading away a super popular player in Jim Edmonds. But one of the players he got back was Freeze, who helped them win the World Series. You know, it's, you take a look at how he's done as a GM and as someone running the team, he's someone who with another title could probably be someone we talk long and hard about. Whether or not, you know, someone like Luna would have been someone if he wasn't, you know, wrapped up in all the controversy of what happened. But the big name out there is Brian Cashman. And let me ask you a question. Is Brian Cashman a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Fame GM? He's been the general manager of the Yankees since 1998. And you can list their four World Series titles that the Yankees have won under his watch, and that they have not had a losing season under his watch. They've had the team no longer has any players left over from the dynasty. And if indeed Brett Gardner is done with the Yankees, then not one single current Yankee has a World Series ring as a member of the Yankees. The last time that has happened was probably 95, 96. I think that's probably the last time we could say that. So you have a total turnover of the teams from the championship years, and they're still a good competitive team. They're not an elite team by any stretch of the imagination, but they are a competitive team. Is Brian Cashman a Hall of Famer? You could certainly arrange his resume to make it look that way. Of course, he didn't really have control of the team until the Tampa contingency was voted down and Cashman basically had control of the team starting in the middle of the 2000s. And since then, they have one trip to the World Series and many winning seasons, but also some years where they did make the postseason. And they're no longer, as I said, they're no longer an elite team. They're a good team. They're a playoff team. And they're a team that if everything breaks right, they could have a run like the Braves had this last October. But they're also a team that, I mean, how many stars have the Yankees developed recently? How many? I mean, Judge. I mean, how many have been developed under his watch? Cano, kind of. Severino, when he's healthy. Judge, that's it, really. Not Gary Sanchez, not Greg Bird. You know, it's been, if he's really been in control since, you know, for the last 15 years, yeah, they've developed one star. They've won one pennant. They've won one World Series. And there've been a bunch of trades that have been questionable. And, you know, it's difficult to sort of, you know, grasp. I mean, those first bunch of championships that were won under his watch were a great team that he inherited. And, you know, I really don't know. Like, there are some people I know who would, their heads would explode if Dusty Baker got elected to the Hall of Fame. And I might be one of those people for Brian Cashman. Now, that's not meant to be a slight on him. It's just the truth. You know, I don't see him as someone who is has had a Hall of Fame caliber career. A lot of the legwork that was done to create that dynasty was done in part by Buck Showalter, who will be in the Hall of Fame if he wins a title with the Mets, and with the late Stick Michael, who was able to build the team while Steinbrenner was under suspension. Something to remember when Steinbrenner's legacy has been rewritten over the last generation or so, and people are like, well, if George were around, then this would have happened. If George were around, that would have happened. Yeah, if George were around, he would have been trading away all their young prospects and making the team mediocre, which is what happened for most of the time there, except the two times when a general manager was able to put a team together. And one of them was Stick Michael. And of course, they kept shifting around his position. Is he a vice president of this? Is he the general manager? Is he the manager? Is he a coach? He was like the little shell game that was going on with Gene Michael during his time with the Yankees, that unfortunately, when the music stopped and there was GMs were being anointed as the GM of a champion, it was Bob Watson and Brian Cashman who were able to take the bows. Nothing against Cashman, nothing against Watson, but to be able to say Gene Michael has never been the GM of a World Series champion while he put together the greatest dynasty we've seen since the Big Red Machine and probably since the Casey Stengel Yankees is really kind of not fair. It's kind of like how, you know, Gabe Paul, who was the general manager of the Yankees in the mid 70s, was the one who assembled the team that became the Bronx Zoo. Steinbrenner got all the credit for signing Catfish Hunter and for signing Reggie Jackson and for signing Rich Gossage. But the foundation of the team, including steals of trades that included bringing in Greg Nettles and Chris Chambliss and Dick Kidrow and Willie Randolph and Bucky Dent. And there's a couple other ones that, and Mickey Rivers, all these people that he just brought in as the GM, stealing these stars from other organizations. Gabe Paul's not in the Hall of Fame. He put together a great team. Not sure if he was Hall of Fame, but he certainly did a great job as a GM. Stick Michael, may he rest in peace, never, ever will get the credit he deserves. And if Cashman is in there and Stick Michael isn't, while Cashman stood on Stick Michael's shoulders, something about that that I don't feel good about. But we'll see. Again, I don't get that upset when people get into the Hall of Fame. I just, in that case, it's more about the omission of one, at least the omission of their legacy, as opposed to the admission of another. And there was an omission of a podcast the other day. And it is my mission to make up for that and keep doing these podcasts. So go to the free and easy to use podcasting platforms where You made us your first listen. I just combined two ad reads right there. I started doing the old one and I sort of try to morph it back into the new one. I'm not even going to cut that out. By the way, make your second listen Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, and with Lee Sterling making his expert picks. It's got all you need for all your gambling needs. This has been Locked On MLB for the 12th day of December 2021, talking about managers and GMs and their trips to the Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.